Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Morost. Today we're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, always nice to have you around.
Glad to be back again.
Let's talk a little bit about the number one topic that we always talk about, the
weather,
progress.
Like the weather here.
Well, I guess as it relates to the jail, I guess that's always an issue. You're right.
It's wonderful weather. It's helped. It's helped.
The building of the new jail seems to be going well.
Doing well. It's. I mean, if you drive by there, you can really see we've got a nice building there. Now you've got to put in the plumbing and the air conditioning, and all that stuff has to go in place, and you have to. They're still working on the painting. They've got the humidity down where they can actually start painting some of those inside walls. It's a matter of putting up the doors, putting in the safety glasses or safety glass, protective glass. We're moving right along, but it's still we're probably looking at 1st of March maybe to get into it, but I wish we could do that quicker. There's a big demand for jail space right now, and it's something that we think will hopefully get that place up and running, and maybe people want to build onto it here in the near future. Let me mention the one change order we had. Seemed like I thought we was going to get by without one, but we had another one. This wasn't a major one. I mean, it's major cost a little bit. It's about $13,474.68, but it was mainly an oversight of the on the landscaping on the end of the property on Triplet Creek there, on Triplet Avenue or Triplet Street, I guess it is, down by the creek side of it, not in the creek, but or not even that close to the creek, but that end of the building. There was a piece of property that was supposed to have a wall, and it looked like it's going to be better to just re-landscape it a little better, and that was the cost of it. I mean, try to fix it where it'll make it easier to maintain and make it look attractive. We could have probably done it on our own down in the future, but right now it's a busy time for my road crew and construction people, so we just decided to let them go ahead while they're already there with the equipment, go ahead and dress it up and make it look properly.
I was going to ask you about how the building looks on the inside. I know you do regular walkthroughs.
Yeah, it's it's concrete walls or concrete block walls mainly. It's going to be a nice facility, but I wouldn't want to spend any long time in there myself. It's not made for comfort. It's not made for aesthetics. The front part of the building where you enter, where the public will enter, it'll be fairly nice, long or large. Real high wall ceilings, and it's going to be very attractive when you walk in there. But now, if you come in the other ports, is not going to be much to look at, and hopefully it'll be an incentive for those people to try to get out of the facility and hopefully get back on the right track and being good citizens.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the impact of another matter might affect the jail here in Rowan County, in the sense it might affect it now, but it also may affect the new jail when that opens here early next year. Is that the State Department of Corrections recently told Boyd County it was going to have to shut its jail down completely, as I guess it has to do some repairs as related to some damage that was caused during an inmate riot here several weeks ago. And that means those inmates will be shifted other places. I know that we've been holding a few here in Rowan County, but I guess we'll probably get some more possibly.
Well, I don't know if we'll get – we can't hold them anymore. That's a problem right now, that most of the jail facilities in the Commonwealth are full and just can't – it's just busting at the seams, and this – will make a little difference. It'll make a big difference to us as far as place to have our prisoners. We won't have to send them to other parts of the state. It'll be, we've got the isolation cells. So if you got somebody that's a murderer, you don't want them in with camping in there with anybody because they've got nothing to lose anyway. So we'll have those type of rooms available. I think right now in the current jail we have one. That's not enough. And because we've got that one case, that one guy, he's been sent all over the state. He was actually up at the riot, I believe, that happened up in Boyd County. So he's a bad hombre, I guess you call it. He's what the president says about people. He's a cost to the county right now. We're paying a lot of money. We're hoping that he'll go to trial early next year. The sooner the better, but because we'd like to get him in a state institution and get him out of our pocketbook.
The other thing is, I was going to ask you this, and you know, you served in the legislature, and I know that you and when you were in the House and in the Senate as well, looked at maybe alternative sentencing for some of these very low-level offenders to kind of clear out some of the people in the jails and maybe open up some space.
Well, we've tried to do that with the House Bill 343, I think it was, that we passed, some judicial reform to try to get people in and out of the court system, try to get them help as far as you know, some if they're having drug problems, if they're having any kind of education problems, try to get them the right things. But again, that was supposed to hopefully close or make the jail problem a less of a problem, but it really hasn't. And of course, a lot of people are concerned about that because you're kind of slapping people on the wrist, especially on a lot of the drug charges, which are not really, you know, aren't causing harm to anybody but themselves oftentimes. So, but that it has not panned out. I think they're just right now with the economy not as good as it should be. I think you're still seeing them. And with the drug epidemic, with the opioids, that's really creating the real problem. We're just seeing more and more people that sometimes that's the only way you can deal with them is get them into some kind of jail facility and hopefully get some treatment as well.
You know, you mentioned that, and it's not just about people with drug violations or alleged drug violations. It's about people with addictions who commit other sorts of crime to help feed their habits, get the money.
Exactly right. I mean, that's what most the crimes are made by people trying to fix a hurt inside their body. They're withdrawals, and they've got to have another shot or another pill or whatever they have to have, and they're willing to do about anything to get that other fix. So it's a major problem. It's a societal problem. It's not just in Kentucky. It's not just in the United States. It's worldwide. But somehow we've got to get a handle on that, and hopefully someday we will, but right now we don't. Let me mention, as far as those change orders, I wanted to talk
sure.
a little bit about that. We put $935,000 in there for a contingency fund. That's for things that occur like these change orders. And we're down, we've still got $736,000 left. So we've got a large percentage of that money that hopefully we're going to be able to use to take care of some of our other problems. It's a better problem than being $736,000 over what our contingency was. So we feel real blessed that as big a project as this is, about a $20 million project, that we've not had to increase the budget on that as much as maybe some people thought. So,
well, it's nice to have that money because, as you mentioned, whatever you have left over in that contingency fund after the jail is completed, you can spend on other needs.
We can spend on basically the staffing, some of the, I think even the X-ray machine we're looking at, so we can keep some of the drugs and contraband out of your prisons. I think we can take some of that money out of that. We'll have to just make a decision what to do. We can also take some of that money and pay off some of our debt, maybe decrease our debt and increase our bonding capacity, which would be something good to do as well.
You know, one thing that is interesting to me is that you mentioned your road crew has been busy here lately. What's going on?
Oh, a lot of blacktopping. We've
tried to get that done before the winter.
Oh, yeah. You try to do that before this real cold weather sets in, because you don't want to do it right after you've had, you know, a lot of bad weather, cold weather. And even if it warms up, it's still not as good as putting it down when it's nice. When the ground temperatures are not decreased, we're making progress on that. We're still put in some requests for discretionary dollars from the governor's office. We're hoping we didn't get much last year. We got about 100,000 of it. We asked for about 300. This time we're asking for about 200,000, and we're hoping we'll get it. If we do get the money, we may not be able to blacktop this time of year. Time we get the actual documentation and send it back to them, all that, and actually get the money. It may take a little time, so we'll still have that money. If we can get the discretionary dollars, we'll have that money to spend early in the spring.
How much do you estimate the county spends on these blacktopping efforts?
We're close to $1 million, probably. Time you take our flex dollars, our normal dollars that we get from the state, plus our county monies we put into it, I'd say we're close to $1 million that we're doing blacktop.
Had a mild winter last year. Did you spend perhaps less this year because of that?
Not really. I mean, it's a big county. It's a lot of roads. It's hard to maintain them all. So far, we've been real lucky in not having to replace, since I've been in office, only two bridges have been replaced. We've repaired some others, but those are big ticket items. And we joined this, we put, I think, 3% of our dollars that we get from the state, we send it back to the state in case that we need dollars for our bridge program or any kind of other emergency allows you to do that. So we've been willing to do that, and we've got our money more than back on some of those projects by being a partner with the state and giving them 3%. I think it's 3% of the money that they send us, we send it back to them, and they put it in a contingency fund.
It's kind of curious, and maybe you know the answer. I think, at least, that we have discussed this before. How many miles of road does the county have responsibility for? It's hundreds, I know that.
Yeah, it's
maybe thousands, yeah, I believe.
It's about 400 to 600 miles, I guess you'd say. I think it's about 400 miles of blacktop road, and you got maybe a couple hundred miles of a lot of the gravel roads, but a lot of those tend to be our county years ago, and we continue to do that, is cemetery roads. Even though nobody lives on them, we wouldn't have to actually do anything to them, but we took them in our system. They're considered county roads. We do maintain that they have to not put a gating up, that type of thing, to be considered for help. So I'd say about a couple hundred miles of road are what you call gravel roads. Most of the county, though, we don't have as many gravel roads. I'd like to see all of them. There's one out on the kind of the northwest part of town that it was a subdivision that was done. They were supposed to get blacktop after they completed, but they did not get it inspected. It wasn't up to the standards that we were expecting subdivisions to do. So those people are still in gravel. I mean, I wish there's not many of those. I wish we could go ahead and do that, but we're trying to follow the rules. So right now we're not doing it, because if you do it for one, you'd have to do it for everybody. And that's why we put in those subdivision regulations, or I didn't put in, but at least the court did. To try to make sure that people, when they buy into these subdivisions and spend their hard-earned dollars for property and to build a home, that they get good quality, a good, nice neighborhood, and part of that is blacktopping.
That goes sidewalks. Back to the zoning issue, huh?
Yeah, that's, again, we don't have zoning, but we do have regulations when it comes to subdivisions.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Morales. We'll step away for just a moment. We'll come back with more right after this. Back by popular demand after a five-year absence, and because we need to do it, it's the WMKY Fall Fun Drive, October 16th through the 20th. It's WMKY's chance to thrive and grow, and it all depends on you and your generosity. So no pressure, right? Call that week with your pledges of support to 90.3 FM WMKY at 783-2001. Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Morales. Again, our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, as we continue our discussion, I was talking with David Morris, who is the Director of Parks and Recreation here for the city of Moorhead recently. And you and I and the mayor, we've all talked about the plans for a recreation park, and we've talked about the Sunnybrook property extensively, and it's about 100 acres plus another 100 of wooded acres, I guess, that goes with it, so 200 acres total. And David said, I hope that maybe that at some point very soon, possibly the city and county could look at buying that property. He said he'd heard it was, I guess, evaluated at about $350,000, and he said it would be a good property to have down the road, and you can buy it now before it costs a whole lot more maybe later on. Just what are your thoughts about perhaps that idea?
Well, my thought is I think we should. I'm hoping that we'll have enough dollars to do that. Of course, we're negotiating with the university right now on the jail and also maybe some other property they have. I can't really talk about it in detail, but we're working with Dr. Morgan, President Morgan, and trying to come up with some ways we can swap property or at least maybe make some deals on some property. I know he'd like to get rid of Sunnybrook. There's some other property I think that is considered surplus property they're going to have to do something with. We need some space, not only for recreation facilities, but we also need a place somewhere here in the city for our ambulance service. It's in a pretty small area, and I'd like to have a larger facility and a little better place for our first responders. So we're negotiating. We're talking with the president about some properties, and we're, I think both of us are interested in trying to make it a win-win for the county and for the university as well. So things that we're trying to work on to try to help him. Again, we're still negotiating. I can't really get into those details on which properties, but Sunnybrook is part of that, I'll have to mention, because we've talked about Sunnybrook for years now. That's been on the drawing board for long before I became judge executive. But I think Mr. Morris is accurate. I think it would be it's a good investment, because you're not going to find that kind of property in Round County at that kind of cost. And it's just going to get more expensive in the future. That's something I'm hoping we can do before I leave office. And I think my magistrates are – I think we've got to mention that way. Of course, it'd be nice to have the city to go together, and let's make this a joint proposition that – we're all going to gain from it. Let's all chip in and pay for part of it. I think, again, it would be a real loss to the community to lose that vast amount of property out there that's level, out of the floodplain, that you could put some nice recreation facilities in the future. Again, it's out of the floodplain. Probably the biggest drawback now is that the bridge is not really adequate. You've got one little narrow bridge to get to that property. We'd like to see another bridge. We had that working again. Representative Atkins had that hopefully worked out for us. And things change after an election. We lost it. So, again, in the future, I think it's still a good project, and hopefully I can get my court and maybe with the city go along and we'll do some kind of good partnership and buy that property.
I know that David Morris's assertion, and I would think would have to be right, is that you pay $350,000 now and you may say thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands right later on as you wait, if you wait to buy it at a later date.
Yeah, somebody else will buy it. The university needs to get rid of it. It hurts their formula funding, and I think if they don't get rid of it, I mean, I think they're forced to get rid of it. It just costs them money. It costs them points in their new system that's been put in place that wasn't there before, and they could hold on to that type of property. But now, because of the new formula funding, performance-based funding, they need to get rid of that property. So I mean, if we can't do something, they're going to sell to somebody, and it'll be lost to the public for the rest of our lives anyway.
Well, you mentioned New Moorhead State President Dr. Jay Morgan, who took over at the 1st of July, and you've had a chance to deal with him on several different issues, and it sounds like you're working very well together.
We are. He's a good man. Comes in, he's wanting to have goodwill, and I'm in favor of goodwill myself, because I'm an MSU alum, and glad to be a part of this great university and history, and I'm doing what I can to try to help him hopefully weather the storm with finances, looking him dead in the eye, just like all of us, with our increase in the money that we're going to pay for pensions. That's about $4 million to him, close to $4 million. It's about $400,000 for my county, and it'd be around $350,000, I think, for the city. So that's a big chunk of money that, and we're hoping that they'll come out with some kind of. I talked to some of the legislators that they'll come out with something that maybe can take a little bit of the sting out of that amount of money, that at least this year, and gradually try to fund it maybe down the road.
I want to ask you about another issue, and this just came out earlier this week, a big announcement regarding the Brady Industries plan. The initial announcement here a couple of months ago was that they would put a $1.3 billion plant in the South Shore area up in Greenup County, but this just came out that they're moving that site of that intended plant down to the East Park Industrial Park at the Greenup-Boyd County line, close to I-64. And just, I know you have some thoughts about this, and I was hoping you might share those.
Well, I'm very excited. I mean, I hate to see what happened up in South Shore. It's a small community. It was really going to change that community and probably help Portsmouth as well. But by moving it to East Park, it really plays into our hands good. We're about 42 miles, I think, 42 miles from one interchange to the other. That's not a very long drive in this day and time for people, especially on a nice interstate. I talked to Tim Gibbs, who's a local boy, was actually deputy judge here at one time, grew up here, went to Morgan State University, who's over the
Ashland Alliance.
Ashland Alliance. And he was telling me, I talked to him this morning about this, and he was saying that it's you know, they could have, the site they've got there could have worked, but it was going to take a lot more time, and time is money when you're in the industry of you know, producing aluminum parts. And they, from what I've been told, they've sold more than 100% of their capacity, already been sold to the public, and so they need to be on. They need to be get this place up and running. I'm so glad that Tim and them did their homework, had this site ready and available, because it could have gone some to another state, another area. Who knows where it could have gone to? So, having East Park, because I was there when we formed East Park. I was state senator at that time, me and Rocky and several other, Charlie Borders, and it was a real regional response. Of course, Carter County's right there on the line too. It really is in the center of that area there to help this whole economy. It would have helped in South Shore, but we just don't have the transportation access we do to East Park. It's going to really mean there's a good opportunity for many people here to work up there, but still come back here and sleep in their home county. So I'm excited about it. I'm very encouraged that things look good for Brady Industries. We've met with the president of it, and he's been here on campus a couple times, and he seems interested in the Space Science Center. He thinks that's a real plus to have that in the area. And I think this whole area from one end of the I-64 down to at least maybe Lexington on I-64, this whole region can see some growth because of Brady Industries coming here.
Well, it puts Rowland County a straight shot
puts
down
us a straight shot.
I-64 to that new plant. And the one thing that I thought of, I said, hey, you know, with the Space Science Center here at Morehead State University, which I know that Greg Bouchard, the CEO of Brady Industries, values very highly and wants to work with, and then the brand new Center for Advanced Manufacturing that Maysville Community and Technical College is including in its new facility out at the Industrial Park. Boy, it really positions Rowland County well, maybe to get one of these satellite plants that Brady will be building for parts and services.
It was just an exciting day. I saw it yesterday during the court physical court yesterday, and was very excited when I saw it was coming to East Park. I mean, I still hate it for those fine people up in South Shore, but I really think it's going to be. East Park was developed to help the whole region, and I, especially here in Carter and Greenup and Lawrence and Round and. I think all those, Boyd County, of course, all those counties are going to benefit from this move to East Park. It's going to make it, we would benefit it anyway, but I think it just makes it much easier and better for our community.
And the one thing about those folks in South Shore, they'll only be, I guess, about 15, 20 miles away from the industrial park,
yeah,
so they can still benefit in other ways.
They'll still benefit. The whole region is going to benefit. That's a tremendous opportunity for our communities. And I'm just excited that we were able to have at least some place they could get into and get up and running as fast as they need to.
We have about a minute left on the program. I wanted to get back to the road crew. Are they all set for winter?
I think so. We're plenty of salt. I think equipment's in pretty good shape. And I'm praying this will be my last winter, at least a full winter as judge executive. I'm hoping I can get through this one pretty calm and not have to declare any emergencies and hopefully don't run out of salt. But very excited about it. Let me say, be sure and donate. I'm going to pledge. Hopefully I'll be on radio here sometime in the future and try to push. We need to fund this radio station. It does great work for this community. We're excited about what it's already done for our community and what it'll do in the future.
Well, thanks so much, Doc. I appreciate your continued support. You've been a longtime supporter of this station for many, many years, and we look forward to your support for many more years, and we appreciate you always coming over and doing the front page, too, as well.
Well, I'd miss it if I didn't get to listen to it on the evenings and also in the mornings as well. It's a great radio station.
Again, that's Rowland County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Morales, host of Front Page. We'll see you next time.